Chapter 27, Christian Science Hall. I have purchased a pleasant place for you and prepared for your use workrooms. Mary Baker Eddy, 1897. More than 2 years earlier, Mrs. Eddy had published in the columns of the journal, Why? Mary Baker Eddy. People having itching ears can learn on this page why I requested Mr. Ezra M. Buswell to come to the capital of my native state and practice metaphysical healing, in other words, Christian Science. 1. Because as a student of my college in Boston, I knew him to be an honest, earnest seeker after truth, and afterwards learned that he was a successful practitioner in the West. 2. Because I know that the good people in Concord like qualities which wear well. 3. Because I thought it proper and best for Mrs. Otis to go West, and for Mr. Buswell to come East. Pleasant View, Concord, New Hampshire, June 11th. 1895. The fact of the matter is that when Mr. Buswell came, the leader told him that she did not want the church or Sunday services which lead to it in Concord. She wanted healing work where she was, and Mr. Buswell had been outstandingly successful in his healing work. To a member of her household, she said that the way to establish the cause through reason was by writing, preaching, teaching, and lecturing, which is temporal. But the way to establish the cause through revelation is by healing, and this is permanent. The Israelites in the 19th century were not unlike the Israelites in the days of Samuel. Quote, the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and said unto him, Make us a king. The thing displeased Samuel, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, They have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me. Now therefore hearken unto their voice. End quote. The scientists said to Mrs. Eddy, Make us a church. The thing displeased Mrs. Eddy, and she prayed unto God, and the Lord said, Hearken unto their voice. So she gave them the mother church, well knowing that the straight and narrow way was healing, not church membership. Her words differentiating between Christ Church and material church activity were drowned in the exuberance of the hour for organizing and building churches. The rate at which new churches were appearing, plus the fact that they were paid for before dedication services on opening day, was a phenomena which caused the press to marvel and scientists to exult. No one noticed that Mrs. Eddy's telegram, sent to Mrs. Pamela J. Leonard and read at the dedication of the new church in Brooklyn on October 3rd, did not mention their new building. Dear faithful leader of this church, Christian Scientists, and Ascendant Assembly, accept my loving congratulations. That God continue to bless and bind these brethren in unity of spirit and bonds of love, I earnestly invoke. The testimonies of remarkable healings appearing in the journal often concluded with church activities, and countless articles were devoted to the latter topic. Healing had spread all over the country, yea, even into several European countries, and the aftermath of healing seemed to be church organization. The mother church in Boston seated over 1,000 persons, and when the church now under construction in Chicago was completed, it would seat over 2,000 and would be the largest Christian Science church in the world. All the field and much of Chicago was excited about this beautiful new edifice, which was to cost well over $100,000. The tide was flowing in the direction of church activity, and the mother could not keep the Concord scientists from being swept along with the current, so she made another concession to the prevailing times. In October, she purchased a lovely old house on State Street and arranged to have it remodeled into a suitable meeting place. While this was being done, during the month of November, a great deal of newspaper coverage was being given to events in Chicago. The Chicago Evening Post of November 13th stated, "Hundreds of Christian Scientists, some of them from the most remote sections of the continent, have been arriving in Chicago yesterday and today to attend the dedication of the largest church edifice ever erected by this denomination. The building, which has attracted to its opening so notable a gathering, outwardly resembles a Greek temple. It is universally admitted to be one of the most artistic, pleasing, and impressive church edifices in this city. The present is recognized among Christian Scientists as distinctly an era of church building, and the fact that the Chicago congregation has already outgrown its new house of worship, the largest church edifice in the city, is believed to indicate the erection in the near future of other church buildings of this denomination on the north and west sides of Chicago. Scores of cities and towns in all sections of the Union are the scenes of preparations for church building on the part of resident Christian Scientists. Probably no other religious denomination in this city or country has experienced in recent years so rapid a growth." All of the papers gave extensive coverage to the dedicatory services on November 14th, including, in addition to their own lengthy articles, a full account of all the addresses given, the most important being the message from Mrs. Eddy, Miscellany, page 177, which was read by the first reader, Mr. Kimball. Was she telling the people that church building was a misleading byway when she stated, quote, "Your Bible and your textbook, Pastor and Ethical Tenets, do not mislead the seeker after truth," end quote. The seeker after truth has surer footing in persecution than in popularity, but this was the era of popularity. According to the Chicago Times-Herald, nearly 8,000 persons witnessed the dedication of the new home of the First Church of Christ Scientist yesterday. Four times was the same simple service given, and four times was the majestic auditorium filled to overflowing. The leader had words of commendation for every church organization, but perhaps her feeling about all the publicity was best expressed in her letter of December 3rd to the readers of the church in Troy, New York. Beloved students, your excellent letters were duly received, and each day thereafter I tried to find moments in which to answer them. Today is my very first opportunity. I rejoice to read a notice of the dedication of your chapel pending the erection of a church. Your quiet, efficient labors specially commend themselves to me. I hope the church shows are now over. I saw the advantage of giving emphasis to the Chicago dedication. Beyond this, I recommend to all churches to give no publicity and particularly no public pictures of their churches. It is too commercial, too cheap-looking, too little like things that come in the course to stay, and too like a surprise that one can have a church edifice. These have always been my views on the subject. I feel so even regard to the Mother Church, although that is an exception to all others. In His light, you have all models, all example, and this light is for the illumination of all taste, culture, scholarship, morals, physics, and metaphysics. A Christian Scientist is as much perfected in the above whole or in any part of them. My desire in prayer is, quote, Father, make them perfect, even as thou art perfect, end quote. Give my love to your dear church. Lead thou its members into light. The church in Troy may have heeded the mother's views, but the scientists in general were so beguiled by the prosperity of material church activity that no note was taken of the event of spiritual import in December. Page after page of the December journal was devoted to the Chicago dedication, while many, many more pages told of church activities in Cassopolis, Michigan, Aspen, Colorado, Spokane, Washington, Pocatello, Idaho, Oskaloosa, Iowa, Poughkeepsie, New York, and divers other places. The only notice of the reissuance of Christ and Christmas was an advertisement of 9 lines in which Mrs. Eddy said, quote, a revised edition with improved plate of the illustration Christian Science Healing, end quote. If Mr. Gilman is correct in his recollection that the new rendition of The Way was completed before this third edition of Christ in Christmas was published, some say he began work on it in January 1898. The fact that it was not included is doubly significant. In the fall of 1897, The Way, for the Christian Scientists, still depicted Jesus in the sky, instead of Mrs. Eddy's more scientific interpretation, depicting the scientific translation of mortal mind, with the first degree as a black cross, the second degree a flowered cross, and the third degree a crown. The contrast of Christ's way with Adams's Christmas celebration and merrymaking together with Mrs. Eddy's small estimate of the latter was graphically portrayed in this 1897 edition. In the ensuing years, many students have become aware of the disproportionate Christmas tree and the absence of spiritual light in the Christmas Eve scene. But part of the leader's message has been deleted from later editions, doubly so in those editions, wherein all the pictures have been made the same width. Standardizing the typeface and type size was no doubt considered to be a correction and improvement. But the founder's minimizing of mortal Christmas activity was lost in the improvement. The following second, third, and fourth pictures from the illustrated poem are taken from the third edition and are the size they were in that 1897 production. The typeface and type size of the accompanying verses are reproduced here exactly as Mrs. Eddy had them published in the fall of 1897. No doubt many individuals who had been disappointed when Christ in Christmas was withdrawn after two editions rejoiced that it was once again available. But the students in New England and vicinity were much more excited about the mother's gift to the Concord students, wherein they began holding services on the 5th of December. Over the entrance of this new hall, she had had the following verse inscribed: Daughter of Zion, awake from thy sadness, awake, for thy foes shall oppress thee no more. Bright o'er the hills dawns the day star of gladness. Arise, for the night of thy sorrow is o'er. The students were joyously appreciative of this gift from the mother, but they were not accurate in their statement that she gave it to them for their first church home. That is the way it turned out. But in December of 1897, she was still hoping that the students in her immediate area would be able to follow her example and refrain from participating in the church building mania. To this end, she named their meeting house Christian Science Hall and sent a message to be read at their second Sunday meeting on December 12th, endeavoring to open their eyes and to lead them in the right way. I have provided for you a modest hall wherein to assemble as a sort of Christian Science kindergarten for teaching the new tongue, with signs following. I have purchased a pleasant place for you and prepared for your use workrooms and a little hall, which are already dedicated to Christ's service, since Christian Scientists never stop to dedicate halls. That last clause, quote, Christian Scientists never stop to dedicate halls, end quote, should have brought chagrin to the whole field, but it went unheeded while rivalry was seeking entrance. When the New York churches considered uniting that they might equal Chicago's magnificence, Mrs. Eddy wrote them that this was a suggestion of error to be silenced. But the glamour was very deep, and few, if any, saw that the leader was taking one path while the students were taking another. She had provided Concord students not with a church, but with workrooms, and though they seemed blinded to it, she told them in her message of December 12th of the way she was going. I shall be with you personally very seldom. I have a work to do that, in the words of our Master, quote, ye know not of, end quote. From the interior of Africa to the utmost parts of the earth, the sick and the heavenly homesick or hungry hearts are calling on me for help, and I am helping them. This helping, healing work is the straight and narrow way that all scientists must find and follow sooner or later. But for the field at the close of 1897, it would definitely be later. though the mother's words appeared in the journal for January 1898, neither they nor Christian Science Hall was able to stem the tide of jubilant material church activity. Nearly a century later, the tide has turned, and many of the magnificent edifices stand empty and deserted. The seeker after truth is no longer beguiled by temporal ways and means. The true path of healing work can be clearly seen as the only permanent way. At the close of the 19th century, however, the two-story frame house on State Street that Mrs. Eddy had remodeled was soon to be swept away in the exuberance of the hour, torn down to make way for a magnificent temple. But Christian Science Hall remains to teach its lesson to the student. It has been immortalized in the pages of Miscellany.